The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Do you have a heavy metal-related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Yeah, this is Steve Tucker from Morbid Angel, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a morbidly angelic episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 483. And I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Hey, bros, what's going on?
Yo, baby, not much. What's happening, Snowman?
Not much going on right now for Saturday night. It's just going to be kind of a... After we're done this, just going to be sitting back and relaxing, but I've already had a kick-ass weekend going on so far, which I'll get to in my metal fix, no doubt. So I'm hoping that everything is going along well with you guys. Everything's cool?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Right on, right on. Good to hear, good to hear. I got to say, I'm pretty excited about tonight's interview and creature feature because, dude, like, wow. This is definitely, and we've said this, you know, on a number of bands as well over the years, like this is a bucket list because I go back as a Morbid Angel mark all the way back to the very first record in the late 80s or so. So
it's definitely been a long time coming.
Bands. Yeah. This is like, you know, Morbid Angel, Deicide, Obituary, Napalm Death, like, you know, that's Morbid Angel. It's like right up there with them.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention all these, Morbid Angel was the only one we haven't had yet. We've had all the others.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, yes. Whew. And as, like I said, maybe with my metal fix, I might be able to give a hint as to some death metal legends we got coming up as well. But before we get into all of that, a little bit of housekeeping here. I want to remind you guys, the end of the year is fast upon us. Probably only a couple of years left.
Couple of years?
So,
Wow. I don't know where you live.
It's a long year.
Only a couple of weeks left, so... I hope you guys got your thinking caps on and, you know, you're going over the last 365 days and, you know, it's Rammy time coming up.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, it's funny. Until you started saying the end of the year's coming, I'm like, oh, crap, I haven't been keeping a list. Like, this is going to be a lot of work this year.
You were supposed to.
I know. And then just clarification, though, for our listeners that are confused about 2 years left to the end of the year, Snowy lives on the edge of a singularity, right? Right there, you know? So it throws his clocks off a little bit.
Just a bit.
He lives in Winnipeg. They're on a different time.
Oh yeah,
time zone.
We're definitely in a world of our own. Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Up here in civilized society.
How cold is it there right now?
You know what? We're below zero. maybe minus 10.
Okay. What's that in real temperature?
Celsius.
I have no idea.
Well, zero Celsius, Aaron, is 32 Fahrenheit.
32.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looking for minus 10, though.
So it's not bad. You know, I'll survive. Rock, you'll do fine. It would kill Aaron within minutes.
Oh, whatever.
He grew up in Pittsburgh. It's chilly over there.
No, it's not.
Oh, come on.
Dude.
No.
before I moved here, it was negative 17 degrees Fahrenheit, and that was like the high the one day.
Ah, pshaw. That's nothing.
I'm just saying. I can handle it. Son, I can handle it.
He's a big boy. He can handle it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're in the Carolinas now. You're soft and weak now.
So that is true. Oh.
I'm even softer and weaker. I'm even further south.
Yeah, but you're sort of Canadian. You're kind of tough.
Oh,
so,
my blood has thinned out, dude.
Anyways, let's put on our thinking caps because, like I said, the Rammies are coming up, and I've really only got two more categories that I got to come up with.
Oh, Jesus Christ, so, I haven't even looked at anything.
I don't even remember the categories. I just got to think of my album of the year and my song of the year, which is it's pretty tough. Those are always the tough ones, for sure.
Goddamn.
For sure, yeah. And like I said, before we get on with the festivities, just for our listeners that just haven't got enough of their weekly dose of Vitamin Snowy, I appeared this week on the Shining Wizards podcast.
Yes.
Earlier, they were celebrating their 6th anniversary, and they opened up the phone lines. They had a really cool guest, and they reminisced, and so I made sure I got on the horn to say hi, and it was pretty funny. I know, Rock, you had a chance to listen to it.
Yeah, one of the guys was snoring while you were talking.
Yeah, well, that must have been Shining Wizards Kevin, because he's kind of the comedian, so I imagine that was him. But happy 6th, you know, to the Shining Wizards guys, and be sure, you know, to everyone to check it out.
6
Yeah,
years
I know.
Old. Oh,
is
my
that it?
God,
just,
that's
just
so young.
6 Fuck. Holy jeez.
Oh,
yeah, when I was their age. Yeah.
Exactly. Wait till you turn 11, yeah. Lad.
That's right. So hello and horns up to the good folks over there. Keep up the fantastic work, and to all of the shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Once again, I'm totally stoked,
you know,
to be a part of it.
I got to share a really quick story.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, on the Shining Wizards Network, we have Nigel McGuinness has a show on there called My Unconventional Life, correct?
Uh-huh.
It's about his unique way of living, you know, let's say. Earlier this week, I was in an NXT taping, you know, here at Full Sail University. And no, I did not get to talk to Nigel. He can't really get to him because he's surrounded by people who would stop you from getting to him. But
soon enough.
But okay, so they did a thing. Okay, they had a match, big match, and the announcer's table got destroyed. Okay.
Oh.
Right behind me. I mean, literally behind me, because I was sitting in front of the announcer's table. So what happens is that it's all in pieces. There's Lars Sullivan, one of the wrestlers. He's on his back next to the table. And now the guys have to keep doing – the announcers have to keep doing their job, right? So Mauro Ranallo is standing up, and he's trying to look in the ring because he's got no monitor anymore. He's looking in the ring. He's on his tippy toes. And then I turn and I look. Nigel is on the ground. I mean, literally face on the ground. He's trying to look up because his headphones, the cord, is stuck under the table. And there's a wrestler on top of the table. So he's trying to do the commentary, and he's literally on the floor, you know.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And we could hear him because, you know, they're right behind us, and it's like, oh my God. And he's, you know, he's describing whatever he's seeing, and I took a picture. The picture I took, though, he was able to be up a little bit more, because so he's kind of on his – you know, on his hip, you know, kind of sitting on this, on his hip, and he's trying to look up and stuff. Oh man, it was so freaking funny. It was, I hope they show it on screen after, you know, while the guys are trying to That would be so cool if they show it, man.
The important question is, though, is there a Radioactive Metal t-shirt on the Idiot Box?
We will find out. As we're speaking now, the first episode that I was at that was taped has already aired on this past Wednesday. So I'm sure because, you know, dude, I was like front row right by the ramp. I'm like the guy that's right there on the corner when they turn the corner and come towards the, you know, they go around the ring. So Andrade Cien Almas came out. It was his first outing with he's the new champion. And he squarely looked at me walking down and with his thick Mexican accent, "It's mine! It's mine!" And he's pointing at me. And he's telling me this at me. And I'm looking at him, I'm shaking my head like, no. Oh no! Oh no! he's a heel, so I gotta boo him. So yeah.
Right on, right on. Okay, Aaron, there's our 2 minutes of wrestling talk.
There we go. We're done.
Yeah. So
if you weren't here, though, God, it'd be more than 2 minutes.
No doubt. So as my dad would say, let's get on with the grunt here.
It's time for the metal fix. Naughty bits
are tingling
with excitement.
Okay, guys, who's got what about which and what did you do?
Well, I know Aaron has a really huge one, pun intended.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for that. Genetics.
Because, you know, before we came on the air, before we came on the air, there was a lot of stupid talk, and, you know, I'm kind of trying to continue the stupid talk, so.
Which is what we normally do. Yeah,
screwing the microphone in and how it happened quickly and all that stuff.
it's pretty much nonstop all night, so.
Yeah. That's what she said.
No? Oh,
does that one work there? I never know.
There we go.
I never know when that joke works. All right, my metal fix. Snowy, do you remember a few weeks ago? Aaron, I don't remember if you were on at that point. I talked about a Netflix documentary that was coming up called "Who the Fuck Is This Guy?" And it's a documentary about Michael Alago, the guy who signed Metallica Elektra Records.
Right, yeah.
Okay, remember I mentioned that? Well, it's out now.
Maybe.
It's on Netflix now, so you can watch it. I recommend it. If you know, there's a lot of metal talk because that's what he was known for the metal. But there's also a lot of stuff about, you know, there's stuff about Nina Simone and Cyndi Lauper and stuff like that. And they do have a bunch of people that have known him for years, like some photographers and some artists and some engineers and producers and stuff. But dude, the list of metal and hardcore people on here, it's amazing. I wrote down every time somebody new would come on the screen, I would write down who it was. Okay.
Ooh. So okay.
Metallica, all four members. And that's rare. Not the current bass player. What the fuck is his name? Jesus Christ.
Torino Newstead?
Yeah, Newstead is in the documentary. They actually use his music and on the soundtrack.
Oh, nice!
So you got you got Metallica, all four members back then. You got Metal Church is on there. Rob Zombie and Sean Assault of White Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Anselmo is on there. One that you, Snowy, will be quite happy to hear. John Joseph is on here from Cro-Mags.
Oh, nice. My buddy John.
Yeah, your buddy John. Johnny Rotten is on there. You've got
not so much my buddy. No, sorry.
Well, yeah. Well. And you've got Mina Caputo.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, she's on there. Well, I never know how to call her.
It's a she. She's a she.
Okay, transgender, right?
Right.
Doyle of the Misfits is on there, and nice. One of the guys from Monster Magnet.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And it's really good. And, you know, Michael Alago is gay, and, you know, he's never hidden it. He's never, you know, so at one point, Kurt Ammett is telling a story how that very first show they played in New York City, where Anthrax opened, Metallica was second, and then Raven closed the night. Alago had heard about Metallica, and I think he had the demo, and he went to the show. And after the show, apparently he bust into their dressing room, and he goes, "I love you guys." he's kind of flamboyant a little bit, you know. I love you. And the guys are having, he's like, yeah, okay, Michael, okay, all right, you like us, all right, all right.
Yeah, we all love right. you too,
pat buddy. On the back, yeah. You know, okay, okay. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really cool, interesting stories. He tells stories about when he was a teenager and how he would go to hardcore shows and stuff, and then he'd walk out, and then he'd walk by a payphone, and the phone would start ringing. This is in New York City. And he's like, okay. So he's like, oh, I'll pick up the phone, picks up the phone. And then he hears the guy says, the voice says, look in the window above you. And he looks, and there's a guy jerking off in the window.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, you know, it's stuff like that, you know. I don't want to give away too much, but, you know, he tells stories about how free the gay community was back then. And, oh, my God. So I definitely recommend it. It's called Who the F is this guy? So you just look for that. As soon as you type who the F, it comes up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't my Netflix. Know. I don't know because the Canadian Netflix is different from the American.
Yeah, different. We mean not cool.
So yeah. So I'm gonna have to check it out. I hope it's there. It sounds it's something that we would. Yeah, that's something both Mrs. White and I would enjoy together. So, yeah, check that out. Right on.
Yep, it's really good. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I had this week. I'm lame this week.
Oh. Yeah, that's not lame, man. I added that while I was talking. That'll be great to watch on my lunches.
Yeah. What do you got, dude?
Well.
Oh, boy.
First, you know what? I'm pretty excited with this one, man, because it's been a while since I've been on.
Yeah.
But so, you know how people do all these 30-day challenges, like 30 days of clean eating, 30 days of exercising, 30 days of no sugar, like that kind of stuff?
30 days of Halloween movies.
Yeah.
Sure. So that's technically 31. But, yeah, so I didn't do any of that. Nothing healthy here.
Okay, thank you. I mean, Stewie, what about you?
You know, I don't know. Check this out. So for the month of November, I committed to pick up my bass guitar every single day. And I did it, man. Like, we are now, today's whatever today is, December 2nd. I am now on day 32 of picking my bass up every single day.
Nice.
And, dude, let me tell you the difference it's made in my mood, my musical skills, like starting at the beginning of the month, like just kind of tripping over everything. Mm-hmm. And then to the end of the month where I'm playing songs I've been trying to work on for years and just finally getting stuff worked out. And I literally did it in just a few minutes a night. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is like it just, you know, no matter what, I'm like, just go up and play anything. You know, if it was just for like a minute, I would just sit down and plunk at the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. Cause that's like,
huge
accomplishment.
So, yeah. So basically you started out at the beginning of the month, you were barely playing Motley Crue. By the end of the month, you were playing Yngwie Malmsteen.
Alas, I wouldn't go Yngwie, but I mean, I could definitely pull off a little bit of Maiden.
Okay.
You know, yeah, and I mean, Motley Crue is a good place to start. Like, the beginning of the month, I started with working on the bass line to – it's the second Rage Against the Machine record. Oh, my goodness. I cannot think of the name of the song, but I love the way the bass line comes in. And I'm like, you know what, darn it, I'm going to learn that because it's nothing super crazy. It's just I never sat down to learn it. Mm-hmm. So I started working on that. And then like I started getting to more difficult stuff and like actually like having to sight read and figure stuff out. Like right now I'm trying to work on the Lemon song and that song is still frustrating. Like I'm trying to find any kind of rhyme, reason, pattern. I'm like, what the hell was he doing? Like that song is clear proof that Led Zeppelin was high as fucking kites in the studio, man, because the shit he's playing is it's genius, but it's all over the place. I'm like, where the fuck is he going with this? You know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So that's that. Then today I got to go to the one redeeming thing about the city that I live near here, and that is Monster Music down in I guess it's considered West Ashley here outside of Charleston. I picked up Prophets of Rage, the new Prophets of Rage record.
Oh, right on.
I just kind of scanned through the tracks real quick. I cannot wait to give this a proper listen because it's pretty badass. And then did either of you guys catch it's like a week or two ago, Iron Maiden was live broadcasting the live chapter Book of Souls on YouTube?
No,
son of a bitch.
I just happened to have my YouTube up. I checked my email and said, hey, Iron Maiden's broadcasting live. I'm like, really? And so I put it on, and it's actually a show. And I mean, at first I'm like, is this an actual show? Like, are they just like randomly doing this somewhere? Like, and then as it went on, like you get to the end of the credits and it says Book of Souls live chapter. Well, I picked up the CD that goes with that DVD today.
Oh, cool.
And that's totally been on my reach because that show, dude, that show's killer. Like, it was really, really killer. Like, I don't know if it's still up on their YouTube channel for anybody who's thinking about it, but check it out because it was a great show. Like, Iron Maiden's one of those bands that, you know, I mean, I don't know how much older than me they are, but they're certainly not the age they were when they started, and they can still pull it off.
Yeah.
You know? No. Yeah.
They can still pull it off.
Timeless.
Yeah,
timeless.
It really timeless. Is. Like it doesn't matter if it's something off the first record or off the current record, it all still sounds relevant and good and just, man, it's just, oh man, I love Maiden. I really do love Maiden. So mm-hmm. I picked that up because I saw that. I'm like, oh, I got to get that today. And then this is the what I've been waiting for. I did not get the version that I wanted because that version is $175.
Oh, Master Puppets. Ouch.
Master Puppets has been reissued, right? As everyone's aware of, kind of like they did with Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning, we talked about on the show previously. Mm-hmm. And it's this huge ass box set where they've got, you know, so many pieces of vinyl and DVDs and CDs and just all this stuff. And so that's $175. But I picked up today the $21 version. There's the 3 CD remastered Master Puppets. So check this out. So it's obviously got Master Puppets, the first, the original CD. CD 2 is what's absolute fucking gold for me. So this one is just riffs, demos, rough mixes. So for anyone who has it or, you know, wants to check out track 8 on CD 2. It's Damage Incorporated. These are from James's riff tapes. So basically what you're getting is James has a multi-track and he's multi-tracking himself. It's pretty raw, but you can still hear just how fucking precise this guy is on guitar. Like, he's just a machine, right? I mean, like, people always talk about Hetfield being one of the world's greatest rhythm guitar players. And like, this is just absolute undisputed proof. And then while he's like riffing the stuff, he's humming along to it.
Okay.
So he's kind of like humming out humming the vocal melodies that we're used to hearing.
Okay.
You know, instead of singing. I'm like, so this is great stuff because like these are songs that like I've been listening to, man, probably since 86, 87, somewhere in there. And just I know every note, I know everything about it. And to hear the beginning processes of it, to hear how it got to where it is, it's just been fantastic. And so I get kind of scanning through that stuff here so far. But then here's the other cool thing with that. So I'm pulling out the booklet and reading through that. Outfalls, and I wanted to call this out to you guys and to all our listeners. So this Master of Puppets, again, big album, big deal. They have a 108-page book that you can buy on Metallica.com, which I believe is the same book that comes in the big box set, right?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, here's the killer part. The little flyer, and this is what caught my attention. It says, get the book for $8.
Wow.
While supplies last. Hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Shipping and handling, right? So, I went on, I ordered my book today.
Cool.
I'm like, for $8, 108 pages, it's a hardback. It's not even a soft cover. It's a hardback.
Why? Really?
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a collector's item, dude.
That's exactly it for $8.
Wow.
I'm going to have to look into that. Yeah. For $8, man, you can't beat it. So
can you send me the link?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'll send it after we're done recording here.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll send it after we're done recording. I couldn't resist, man. Like, it, for $8, because actually, as I'm reading the flyer here, it says this book is included in the deluxe box set edition, but you can get your own copy. So that same book is in the $175 set. So I've kind of, you know, with all this now, pieced together my own little version
mm-hmm.
of that of that album. All right. Now, so this really is going to be a long metal fix for me, and I apologize if we go over time.
It's okay.
But I want to call out some other things here. So you guys both, super jealous, got to see Metallica play on the Puppets tour. Now, yes. You did see Post, you know, we've talked about on the show, you saw Post, Burton, you would have seen the Newstead years.
Mm-hmm.
But so check this out. So here's what's really exciting. So they have live music. It's not a full show, but they've got the entire album and then some live. Like, I think it's the set list from the Damage Inc. tour they were doing. And then in the booklet, they kind of call out here, the date of each song.
Is so, for example, here Victoriaville on there.
You know what? Let me look. I honestly didn't look for that. I was looking for what was the date? What was the date for Winnipeg?
Oh,
November?
It was December. December. Victoriaville.
All right, so let's check this out here. But so here's what's kind of neat, though. So here's one from April 21st, 1986, which means that Burton was still playing.
That's Burton, yep.
And then you can see where January 25th, 1987. Well, that's going to be Newstead.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to hear these songs with a so young Newstead to the band.
Yep, and a guy that played with his fingers versus a guy that played with a pick.
Yeah, man, it's going to be completely different. Okay, so none of the dates on here. I can't believe I didn't even think to look for that. But no, none of these look like they would have been in Canada, at least on this version. I don't know what the big box set has.
Yeah, it may have.
And
some.
Then, like any good infomercial, but wait, there's more. You guys remember when I was first talking about this box set coming out like a month or two ago, and I said what Metallica was going to do for the indie record stores?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So for anyone who's still giving Metallica shit, raise up off their nuts, because these guys, and I mean, believe me, I'll still give them shit for Load and Reload and sometimes even Enter Sandman. But for as much experimentation as they have done and, you know, times they have strayed from, the call of metal, we'll say, these guys love their fucking local record stores, right? So they were put out a special cassette. If you bought... You know, and I honestly thought it was just the box set, like the big box set. If you're, you know, buying the Metallica stuff at your independent record store, you get a cassette copy of the show in Osaka, Japan, November 18th, 1986. So that would have been one of the earliest shows with Newstead.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And that was just before the Canadian tour that we saw. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have that cassette in my hand right now. Like, this is why I love Monster Music, man, because like.
Okay, I need to go to Park Avenue CDs tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Because I mean, like, I'm checking out, and the guy sees me, and he's like, it's the same guy that was there the night I went for the release. And I mean, I definitely don't look like a metal fan. I mean, we've talked about this on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I think he kind of recognized me. Saw the Metallica, reached over, grabbed a cassette. He was on the phone at the time and made sure it made it to my pile.
Nice.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, those guys are just kick ass, man. Like, they really take care of me down there. Like, I love, absolutely love that shop. Love going down there.
Good businessman.
So, yeah. Yeah. They're pretty awesome. I mean, and just, I love that. I love that you're only going to get that through your independent record store.
Yeah.
You know, like, love that Metallica is taking care of the independents, because I mean, that's the whole reason Metallica is the way they are, is those little guys that took a chance, you know? And so I love that they keep taking care of them, you know?
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. They get a lot of flack, but you know, once in a while, shit like this comes out and it's like, well, right on. You go, boys.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that, ladies and gentlemen, is my metal fix.
That was awesome.
Right on. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to check that shit out myself as well. That's fantastic. Myself, well, had a rather enjoyable evening last night as we speak. The mighty Belphegor came through town last night with Canadian death metalers Cryptopsy. So how's that for a legendary 1-2 punch? You know, you got your black metal, you got your death metal. Man, fantastic, yeah. Fantastic, for sure. For sure, for sure. One of the things that I noticed when, like, I had seen both bands before. I had seen Cryptopsy with the original lineup with Lord Worm on vocalist, like the quote-unquote, the classic, the pre-unspoken king. Cryptopsy, shall we say, like I saw them at the same venue, which was the Pyramid Cabaret, you know, a fair sized club that gets about 300 people or so in. But the original, the first time that I had seen Belphegor was in a much bigger theater supporting Amon Amarth. They were the second band on a 4-band bill. And I don't even remember who the other bands were. Well, you know, after 35 years of concerts, you know, you know which bands you've seen live, okay? But you can't always say, oh, yeah, I saw band X with band ABC together and all that. Like, after a while, you just... You know what I'm talking about, eh? Like, you just can't remember them all. No, like, you've seen them.
Actually, I don't, because I make sure I remember. I have notes. I have setlist.fm, man, is the best website ever.
Holy jeez. That's just about the nerdiest thing you've ever said, man.
You know, though, he's...
Have we met? Come on. Collect fucking comic books.
Right.
Jesus.
That's it.
He's so right, though, because after Rock started talking about it, I started going back and putting my shows in that way. And, like, now I can actually, like, have an online reference. It is pretty fantastic.
Exactly. And then you see what you saw in what order. And if you have your old tickets, it's super easy to, you know, search for it and stuff. And, man, it's great.
Well, you got more patience than I do. Like, there's no way I would be able to do that.
You're a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants type of guy.
Yeah. Well, anyways, the first time, like, that was the avenue that I had originally seen Belphegor now. And this was, oh, my God, about five, six years ago now. And this time around, seeing them headlining... You know, a longer set in a smaller, more intimate surrounding. Man, that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, they're good. That's life.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I know they recently, I don't know, Rock, you never made it out, but I know Corrine did.
Yeah.
When that tour recently came through your neck of the woods.
Yeah. I saw them when they came with Cataclysm the time before.
That's a what's with that? What's with Belphegor touring with Canadian death metalers? Eh?
When you think about it. I guess they get along with them. I guess French Canadian metalers too.
Yeah. Well, hey, right on. Good on them. Yeah. So yeah, it was a fantastic night. I did catch up with Matt from Cryptopsy, and I had a quick chat that will be coming up later on. But afterwards, a couple of us from Ninja Cat Whale kind of hung around afterwards and just kind of hung out with the guys from Cryptopsy and Hellmuth from Belphegor. We all had some Canadian lagers together, shall we say. Cool. We had a fantastic time. Yeah. Something to tell the grandkids. Are either of you guys familiar with Into the Combine podcast? Does that ring a bell? Did you happen to stumble upon that at all?
Is this a farming podcast?
No. See, I don't know. I don't understand why it would be called that, because, you know, I'm going to have to get the guys on the horn and find out. But no, Into the Combine podcast is it's a metal interview podcast, very similar to us with the multiple hosts and all that, but we got the hot chick, they don't.
Okay. Yeah.
which the Shining Wizards guys, they never let us forget that. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Well, anyways, Into the Combine, I discovered this podcast a little while ago, and because like they had a lot of the same interviews that we've had and all that, and it seems like whenever a band that just came through town here, they had an interview with them and all that. I'm playing catch up with them and all that. And well, what was really interesting about that is, you know, I'm pissing around on Facebook and checking out their Facebook and all that, and I commented that I do a podcast myself. We were talking about podcasting, and I was in the comments and all that. And I said, yeah, I do a internet podcast myself and all that. To which Jason from the band replied, oh, which one's that? And I said, well, we do Radioactive Metal and all that. You know, he responds, oh, that's awesome. I've been a subscriber to you guys for a while now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I think we got new buddies with Into the Combine podcast. You guys should check that out. Hello and horns up to Jason Shoddy and Stan the Man. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Their latest episode, and this is something that I've had in the back of my head and I want to start doing at some point in 2018, is they had an interview with Matt Calvert the head honcho behind Dark Descent Records. And, you know, there's just, there's just so many great, awesome, independent metal labels that are putting out so much great stuff. And I just, I want to get behind all of them and all that. And so when they announced that was this week's guest and all that, I just jumped all over that. Speaking of the independent record labels, the Heavy Metal Relics video program that I really enjoy with our buddy Reaper and Bridget as well. They're affiliated with Hell's Headbangers, good friends of ours as well. This latest episode of theirs, they took us through a tour of the Hell's Headbangers warehouse and all that, and Reaper showed off his office and where they go to pick all the CDs and all the storage areas and all that. And you might think, well, that's boring, it's a warehouse. No, not at all.
I love to see
not
that
at all. Yeah, like, man, like, I was on the edge of my seat just watching this video, man. I was totally marking out and all that. And if I ever make my way down to the Cleveland area, like, that's my first stop. I'm gonna be rapping on Reaper's door. Fuck, man, I want to see all this. So hit up YouTube, Heavy Metal Relics. It's my favorite program of any sort on the air right now. In the immortal words of Nuke L.A. Lelouch, Google it. Relapse Records is announcing their presence with authority in 2018. They've already announced some wicked new albums from Mammoth Grinder and Genocide Pact, and the first couple singles are already making the rounds up on YouTube and all that. And I'm really excited for these records. And
I gotta say something. Oh my god, they're two bands I've never heard of. And you're like, oh my god, this is awesome.
Okay,
these bands.
Well, I don't know why you wouldn't have.
Excited you get over stuff that I've never heard of.
Okay, all right.
And I
sorry.
Know a lot of shit, you know.
I don't know what to tell you. Like,
it just cracks me up, and you do this all the time.
I can't wait. Genocide Pact is awesome, man.
Okay.
I'll never forget bonding with Max Cavalera on, you know, talking about Genocide Pact with him. That was awesome. I'll never forget that.
So, no, Mammoth Grinder.
I was expecting you to say something like, oh, Century Media, they signed Anthrax, and they put out new Anthrax. Woo! They signed Metallica. Woo! You know, that's what I was expecting, you know.
That's awesome too. I hope there's a new Anthrax record in 2018, man. It'll be right up there with Genocide Pack and Mammoth Grinder.
So, and that just clarified. So I was going to say, Mammoth Grinder, is this a band or is this a descriptor you're using for the new catalog?
this is a band.
Because either way, it's a pretty cool set of words put together there. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, who would have thought they ever put that together? Yeah,
it's sort of the side project of the Power Trip vocalist and some of the dudes from Iron Reagan.
Oh, okay.
Who was also a member of the name escapes me. You really like them?
Municipal Waste? No.
Darkest Hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
are any of these same guys in Cannabis Corpse?
No.
Okay.
No. But
trying to keep all my Iron Reagan people straight.
I know. It's like crazy. Municipal Waste, Iron Reagan.
Oh, that was Municipal Waste. Yeah, I'm just mad.
You know, and now Mammoth Grinder, and there's probably a few more bands.
Is it Anal Trump? Like, no.
No, that's Cattle Decap.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like all of these bands in some way, shape, or form
are
all kind of connected.
So incestuous.
Yeah, for sure.
That was really creepy rock.
So,
you should have seen me too when I was saying I had my hands up. It's so incestuous.
I'm really glad times this is not a video podcast.
That's right.
Yeah, you will be rolling my eyes a lot when Snowy talks. Oh,
I was just gonna say, you guys would see a lot of eye rolls from me. All kinds of quizzical looks.
So, but rock. Okay, just for rock, I'm going to finish up my metal fix with, you know what came out yesterday, guys?
What?
As we
what?
Speak? The A new Morbid album. Angel.
Woo! No way.
Yeah.
That I know.
Okay, well, thank God. Holy shit. Yes. Yeah, yes. Not only did it come out, but it also came across my desk. The new Morbid Angel, Kingdoms Disdained. And I was cranking that earlier today. And that's some fantastic stuff. If you are concerned, like, okay, if you were one of those people that were kind of put off by their last experimental record, shall we say, maybe Morbid Angel's Cold Lake, shall we say, if
Morbid you Angel's kind of Cold Lake, Morbid Angel's yeah. Cold Lake, really?
Yes, think okay. about it.
All right, okay.
This is kind of Morbid Angel's Cold Lake, their last record.
Oh,
that really yeah. put off fans. Oh, now the light comes on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to be honest. I know Morbid Angel, but I don't really follow them. I'm not a huge
fan. Okay, well, their last record got really experimental, mm-hmm. and it really spazzed a lot of people out.
I remember.
And all that. Well, they have returned to form with the arrival of Stephen Tucker.
Good.
You know, and yeah, I don't think that's any surprise. So I was cranking the new record earlier today. And trust me, that is going to be the next physical copy CD that I pick up. So speaking of which, this is an opportune time to get into tonight's creature feature with kind of a sample from said Kingdom's Disdained record. This is the first single from Morbid Angel. For No Master.
Yeah. say, first and foremost, you're outdoing the press rounds right now. No doubt promoting the new record, Kingdom Disdained. Now, this is kind of your return to the fold, shall we say. What can we expect from this new record?
Man, I mean, you can expect pretty much, I think, the same thing you got from the other records I was on, man. It's very intense. It's pretty diverse and, you know, musically, as Morbid Angel always is. But, I mean, there's definitely just an underlying, I guess, meanness to the album that actually I love myself.
Right on. I can tell from that your last sentence there that you're very excited about this already.
Yep. Yeah, man. I mean, I apologize. Go on. Sorry about that, brother.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, if you can remind everyone when the record drops as well.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked about it. The album comes out December 1st. It's on Silver Lining Records, and man, they've done a bunch of extra stuff on there, you know, box sets and things like that with extra artwork and stuff. So yeah, man, I'm completely stoked about it. I mean, it's the first time I played with Trey in about, you know, 10, 12 years or something like that, and I mean, it's just fantastic, man. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Right on. How did you kind of make you the return to the fold? Like, what, who did the guys come to you? Did you go to them? Did you have a neutral party? Like, how is it that we're actually talking about this record today?
Man, mutual friends sort of put Trey and myself back in contact, you know. And a friend of mine asked me if I minded if he gave Trey my phone number again, and I said, of course not, man, give it to him. And, you know, after a few conversations, it just came up, man. It really just, I think Trey, you know, the way he put it to me was, man, I really, you know, loved all the work we did together in the past, and I'd like to do it again. Would you be interested? So, yeah, man, I mean, I thought about it for a while, obviously, as adults do, man, but then I made the rock and roll decision, you know what I mean?
Right on. Well, when they announced you were coming back, I was pretty stoked. So I'm pretty excited for this record. I'm old enough to go back right to the very first record with Morbid Angel during the quote unquote heyday, but I think a band like Morbid, the heyday is ongoing. It kind of bugs me when people say otherwise.
Man, you know, I think, pardon me, hold on one second.
No problem.
Wrong pipe. Sorry about that. I think that, man, like, with Morbid, I mean, with all bands, man, you know, there's always new bands coming out constantly. There's always new bands. So, I mean, what can seem like, you know, people, especially in the States, man, you know, or North America as a whole, are a little more trendy. So it's kind of like having a few years under your belt over here is not necessarily, you know, the greatest thing, although it's only sort of on the surface. It's, you know, that's only on the surface of who's hot now, who's whatever, man. I mean, consistently, there's a lot of fans that come out for Morbid Angel shows and a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people there everywhere we go. So, you know, I think heydays, man, I don't know. What I care about is, you know, we keep seeing young people in the audience, dude, and there's still the old people there, too. You know, the older people, I should say, there, you know, the old fans. And, like, I mean, it's a cool mix. It's cool to see the young people mixing with the older people and, like, sort of doing something that's always kind of been a part of European culture, man. You know, there's sort of bonding over heavy metal, you know. I mean, it's something we've seen in years. You know, you've seen it for years in Europe, but it really seems to start coming in now in the States over the past 10 years or so. And I really think that's because of changes in culture, dude. I think pop culture became so, I mean, immediate and quickly changing in the United States that there's some people that just, you know, they had no interest in that, man, and they sort of made their way to the metal scene, you know, just like always.
Cool. You kind of answered what was going to be my next question. I was really curious what Morbid Angel, and maybe on the live front, how that looks today. Are you attracting a younger audience? Like, you know, I'm sure you see the veterans like us with the Napalm Death shirts and the Carcass shirts, and then the young bucks coming to your shows in like maybe the Suicide Silence shirts or something. I imagine you're getting.
And you know what? I'm actually seeing more 15 and 16 year old kids wearing the Carcass shirts and the Venom shirts and things like that, man. A lot of these young metalheads now, and I think this is one of the only pluses I can really come up with for the internet. But one of the pluses is that I think a lot of these young cats, man, are really, really knowledgeable about their metal. You know, there's a lot of these dudes that are really they can sit and talk to me about Exodus, and they're bringing up facts that I forgot when I was 16 years old. You know what I mean? So, like, there's a lot of that out there now, man. Like I said, metal in the States over the past 15 years, 10 years, culturally, man, there's been a shift, man. There's a lot of people now that, they're lifers in metal. You know, it's become something that now, man, I'm meeting a lot of people that, you know, they've got a kid that's 12 years old, and they brought him to Morbid Angel concert, man. And, you know, and the kid's got, you know, he has a poster that I signed in 1999 or something. You know what I mean? Oh, wow. It's really cool. And I mean, I see it every day, dude. It's like literally it's every day. There's all these younger dudes, and it's not just you know the death metal, man. It's thrash, you know. A lot of these young dudes are really into thrash metal, and it's funny, man. They're into the same exact shit that I grew up listening to. it's also the interesting thing about it is a lot of them, man. It's still they think, the sort of the same bands that I always thought were sort of the great bands. It seems like. Once again, they're being thought of as a great band. It's cool. It's really great, man. And like I said, man, I've seen that in Europe for years, man. For years, I've seen this. You've seen this tradition of people, you know, in America, man, people move on from metal. You know what I mean? They grow out of metal or something like that. And that shit didn't happen in Europe. It didn't happen. It didn't happen over there. But now I'm seeing it more now, man, where there's, 45-year-old guys, 50-year-old guys that are, man, they're as metal as they ever were. You know, the only difference is, man, is they work 60 hours a week, you know?
That's me right there. I'm actually doing this. On my lunch break in my office here, so yeah.
Right on. Congratulations, dude. That's love. You know what I mean? That's just out of love, bro. I mean, honestly,
it is.
A
it is.
Fact, you know?
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's always nice when someone has something nice to say to you, and I'm really stoked for the new record here. Kind of with that and what you were saying earlier, though, I'm always curious, though, when a band like yourself and an artist like yourself that has been around, you've done it all, you've seen so much. When you hear the legendary Morbid Angel or the legendary Stephen Tucker, like what's your reaction to that?
I don't really, man. I'm a pretty humble cat, man. So, that for me is one of those things where I don't know what to say except thanks. You know, I mean, I really, to me, I'm still kind of in the middle of it all. And I mean, you know, I have my legends, so you know what I mean? It is what it is. If somebody ever seen me that way, I mean, man, this is music, and you know, 10 years is a lifetime in music. So if someone, you know, sees the stuff that I've done and they sees me, man, I think that's awesome, and I'm truly honored, you know?
Right.
But to be honest with you, I'm not putting that on a business card anytime soon. I mean, that's not going to be my thing.
No. Legendary death metal artist. Yeah, that doesn't really matter to Joe and Jane Average, you know.
I mean, right on. And to be honest with you, it's not one of those things that I'm trying to make it matter to anyone, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's, man, I'm stoked to still be making music, man. I mean, not just playing music. I mean, because I know a lot of people that play music still, but they don't really make music anymore, man. And I'm stoked to be able to just continually play new music, man. I'm lucky. I play with a guitar player, man. He's probably one of the most creative people to ever be in metal. And to be honest with you, it's always fun, man, to see what this guy kind of throws at me, man. You know, Trey just comes up with some crazy shit, and it's just always interesting, man.
Right on. That's exactly what I want to hear. Now, kind of with that, we're probably going to, when this record hits the shelves, we're probably going to have a lot of Morbid Angel fans that, from the last record, Illid Divinium Insanus, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, you might, that record really didn't go over too well with a lot of the job with the diehard death metal fans. It took a lot of criticism. What can you, there's not, how can I phrase this? Like, what are you going to say to those that might be, oh, I don't know about this, because I have a feeling this is going to be a different record?
I mean, man, look, I mean, to be honest with you, I think that Trey asking me to come do another album should pretty much tell most people, you know, what to think about the album. You know, by what I mean by that is, I mean, Trey didn't call me up because I'm known for doing, you know, pop stuff, or he didn't, you know what I mean? He right. wanted the album to be mean and aggressive and nasty. And that's why, you know, we started talking about doing an album. We never sat down and said, we need to do this or we need to do that. I think that we just knew that that's what the makeup of these elements would be. That's what the result would be. You know what I mean? It's just that's the chemical makeup, man. But when Trey and I get together, there's just, what comes out is always just a very, to me, very ominous, menacing kind of sound, you know?
For sure. Really looking forward to it. How is this going to affect Warfather, though? Like, we've put this, your other band, over on the show big time in the past, and I wouldn't want it to fall to the wayside.
Well, I mean, obviously, it really, honestly, it's one of those things where, you know, Warfather's something that I was doing, I was really enjoying doing, but, I mean, it's not Morbid Angel, man. You know what I mean? There's not the combination of myself and Trey in it, or, you know what I mean? And to be honest, I mean, it was really something that I enjoyed, man. I loved Warfather. It was fun. It was the first time that I'd had a band that was sort of just my band, where I made all the decisions and stuff, since I was like 18 or 19 years old, man. You know what I mean? And it made it interesting, but it also made it one of the biggest pains in my ass ever, man. So, like, you know, in Morbid, at least there's a little bit of, you know, there's some democracy there, man, between Trey and myself. But in the end, I mean, for me, Morbid Angel has always been Trey, you know what I mean? Trey's riffs make Morbid Angel, and, like, so, therefore, it takes a little bit of a certain amount of pressure off of me, man. You know what I mean? And and I feel, honestly, the outcomes are, you know, they're two different things, man. And you know, maybe at some point I'll do some more Warfather stuff, but it definitely, it's not my priority, man, because, I really enjoy, like I said, you know, when I hear Trey's riffs for the first time, man, just like when you hear a song for the first time, I've never heard this before, and it is completely alien to me and strange to me, and turning it into something, man, to me is always, you know, it's just an experience, man, and I really enjoy it. So, and as well, it's you know, there's different elements. It's, you know, I'm responsible for the things I take care of, and Trey's responsible for the things he takes care of. So it's a little bit more of a team, you know, type thing, man. And I mean, it really just has to be my priority. I mean, everybody knows my name because of Morbid Angel, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm back in Morbid Angel, so I mean, I have to give it 100%, dude. I've never been a guy that could be in four or five bands. I just can't. I mean, I just like to really focus on what I'm doing, you know what I mean? It's like when I read a book, man, I pretty much read it as hard and heavy as I can, beginning to end, and I'm done, you know what I mean? I'm 100% committed. I guess I've been told, and some people have used it against me negatively, but I've been told that I am either 100% on or I'm 100% off. You know what I mean? So that's just, I think, the way I am, dude. It's all pretty much on my sleeve, you know?
Well, just the fact that you're throwing around the word commitment and committed and all that, I think that's definitely a positive.
Man, you know, I had to think about it when I came back. I knew what it was going to take. I knew how many shows we were going to do, and I knew how many years it was. The process was going to be until possibly the next album. You know what I mean? I knew all these things, and to be honest with you, it's something that I either wanted to be full-on committed to it, or I wouldn't have wasted Trey's time. You know what I mean? And it's because, it is a commitment. You're away from your home. You're away from your, you know, like, I have animals, and, I mean, kids are grown and stuff, but, like, you know, there's still responsibilities in life that you're away from, and it's a commitment to that's a little extra effort that you have to do in your life to be able to get to go out and play shows. And it's like, you know, with everything, man, as an adult, you weigh the options, man, and you know, it all makes sense to me, and it's all worth it to me. And honestly, man, like I'm really glad to be able to do this. You know what I mean? It's just, it's great mm-hmm. to be able to do this.
All right on, right on. I'm sure all the Morbid fans are stoked that you're back as well. When they see you, I imagine you are going to be hitting the road in support of this record. When they see you, what can people expect, like, on the live front, like, from this record at all?
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely play some songs from this record. I mean, like, what's the point in doing an album if you're not going to, you know what I mean? I mean, that's, we're a band that wants to continually write music that's interesting and new. So, yeah, but I mean, I think we're going to be going out sometime February, March 2018 to start supporting the albums. And I mean, we're going to do it pretty extensively, man, as worldwide, of course, you know, but we're just going to go out and just play as many shows as we can, man. I mean, honestly, that's why I play music, dude. In the end, I mean, it's great to write music and it's great, you know what I mean? But, like, I love to go out and play shows, man. I love to go out and play new songs. I love to go out and just be on stage, dude. You know, it's just a fantastic experience, man. I mean, there's nothing like it. You know, else out there, man. It's one of the coolest experiences I've ever had in my life, and I'm lucky to get to do it quite often. So I look forward to it, you know what I mean? And we're committed to, you know, shit, man. We'll play every day this coming year. I'm committed. Let's do it.
Right on. See, I want to hear that because I'm up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, right in the middle of the continent and all that. And I don't think Morbid has ever been through my neck of the woods here, so I would really like to see you guys kind of cross Canada. I think that would be
now we have off the hook. We've rode the top board, you know, we rode the border, man, up there. We on the northern side and played places like Windsor and Thunder Bay, things like that. But I don't think we got up, you know, into the mills. I mean, it's just not something we've done, I guess. So, yeah man.
It's kind of a hike.
Yeah. You know what? So that whole part of the world is anyway, man. It doesn't matter if you're driving through Montana, Wyoming, Iowa. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, Idaho, any of those things, man, they're all a cruise. The Dakotas, they're all, you know, it's a hike. So, I mean, yeah, man, it just comes with that area, man. I actually like going to that area because, man, it's not something you get to see a lot of anymore in the United States, man. You know, these big open areas like that. So, it's, you know, I enjoy it, man, when I'm up there.
Right on. Good. Well, that will give you some incentive to get on up in this area. So,
right on.
Let's go with that. And finally, you kind of triggered a question here when you mentioned that your kids are grown, and I imagine they've spread their wings. My wife and I we're empty nesters now as well. So I'm just kind of curious. This my dad is in Morbid Angel. Okay, is that a thing in your kid's life?
Man, you know what? I don't think they tell anybody like that. I just don't think that's something that they bring up. You know, like, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, hey, man, you know, my daughter, you know, when I joined Morbid Angel, she was around it for most of her life. So, you know, my son was born while I was in Morbid Angel. It's one of those things where it just, I think it's as common as if, you know, your dad is whatever. They don't care. They don't like Morbid Angel. You know what I mean? Like, they don't, you know, they're like not, you know, into coming to the shows or anything. My son he's cool with it, but and my daughter, she doesn't want to come to a show or anything. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's just, it's for them more than likely, I guess it's just my job, you know?
Yeah. You have to let your kids cut their own path for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, that's the whole point. You know what I mean? You that's the whole point is you learn in life and then you're supposed to, you know, hand that on to your kids and then let them do it themselves, man. You know what I mean? Like, and hopefully they end up good people. So far, so good, man.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
There we are. Scratch another one off the old bucket list, man. Oh, yeah. Morbid fucking Angel. Yeah, yeah. And so that, if that should definitely be enough to convince you to go out and pick up the new Kingdom's Disdained, a great record. And it's a contender. It's a contender. It's a contender. Well, guys, thank you so much. It's, once again, it's been an absolutely amazing weekend so far. I don't know how I'm going to top. I don't know how I'm going to top this between tonight and the show last night. I don't know what I'm going to do on my Sunday. Who knows? Who knows?
You'll find something. Knowing you, you'll find something.
You could hack into the American Netflix and get that documentary Rock was talking about.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, yeah. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a morbidly angelic episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snow White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off, but before we go, you know what? I had such a great time, and Hellmouth was actually such a cool guy. He's, you know, you get these black metal guys up on stage in the corpse paint and the roar and all that, and it's you know Joe and Jane Average is like, oh my god, this is scary. No, not at all. Great guy. So for him and for everyone that had a fantastic time last night, we're gonna go out on the new Belphegor album, Totem Ritual, the first single, Baphomet.
No, it's Baphomet.
No, it's Baphomet. No, it's a demon. It's like Baphomet.
But no, it's pronounced Baphomet.
No.
Tomato orange. It's all right.
Oh, no. Okay, you know what? Kronos is never wrong. I'm pretty sure Bathory has never been wrong.
But Exodus says Baphomet.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Paul Balog.
Exodus has to talk to you.
Just enjoy the fucking record.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.